This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise. Today on Sea Change Radio, a more ecological solution for paving driveways and parking lots, and a social networking site specifically for people working to make the world a more sustainable place. Our first guest is Dustin Glist from Invisible Structures, a company that creates paving solutions that process stormwater naturally, allowing water recapture, preventing erosion, and even allowing you to plant grass on a roof or driveway. We ask him about what problems current paving solutions present and the practical uses of his company's technology. After that, we hear from Martin Chilcott, the founder and CEO of 2 Degrees Network, a social networking website that connects green innovators from all over the world. We talk about how this site, which finally taps the power of social networking for the green movement, might be a game changer in the shift to environmental sustainability.
The globe is a very big place, and this is a global problem. And we have people down in Australia who have solutions and people in Los Angeles who have needs, and we bring them together.
My guest today is Dustin Glist. He's the information and media director at Invisible Structures, a porous paving company based in Colorado. The United States alone has about 2.4 million miles of roads surfaced with asphalt, not to mention airfields and parking lots, which are almost all paved with asphalt. So what's wrong with that? Well, to start, conventional paving does nothing to prevent surface runoff, which is a serious cause of water quality problems. Non-porous concrete and asphalt can cause heavy soil erosion. Runoff water picks up gasoline, motor oil, heavy metals, trash, and other pollutants from sidewalks, roadways, and parking lots, all of which just moves downhill until it hits a water source. A 2008 report by the United States National Research Council identified urban runoff as a leading source of water quality problems. Given the extensive area covered in asphalt, breakthrough solutions in this area can make a big difference. And today's guest is here to talk about one such solution, porous paving. Dustin Glist, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Thanks for having me, Alex.
Before we learn more about what Invisible Structures does specifically, maybe you can tell us a little bit more about the problems that are associated with the paving industry and the way we go about building our roads.
Well, most roads are paved with asphalt and concrete, which are both what's termed an impermeable surface. That means that all the water that falls onto the surface is carried off as runoff, and the water is actually grabs pollutants. It speeds up, it heats up, and other problems concerning concrete and asphalt, which you commonly see, would be maintenance, would be urban heat island effect, which is where the solar radiation is absorbed and reflected on these surfaces, causing urban areas to be many degrees warmer than undeveloped land.
And what products usually go into paving that are so detrimental to the environment?
Well, a few of the effects of these concrete and asphalt systems, concrete attributes to nearly 8% of the CO2 emissions in the world when manufactured. It also, after it's installed, concrete can leach calcium hydroxide, heavy metals, small amounts of heavy metals, lime and other materials, and asphalt. It can cause leaching of carcinogens, things that can cause mutations and birth defects. Asphalt will leach what's called a polycyclic aromatic hydrocarbon. So what we're looking to do is not only change the way the hydrology of the stormwater is affected, but also remove some of these typical problems associated with concrete and asphalt.
So recycling of asphalt has been prevalent throughout the U.S. since the 70s, but what are some of the more recent developments in terms of materials and strategies for reducing the carbon footprint of the roads we drive on?
Well, a recent development really in that same area in the 70s and 80s is what's termed as in the construction industry as flexible plastic porous paving. Now, flexible plastic porous paving is made from 100% recycled plastic, high-density polyethylene plastic. Now, these systems are support systems. They can be topped with grass. They can be filled with gravel. They can be filled with recycled glass or seashells or any number of materials. And they can also be topped off with natural vegetation. So what you're getting is a natural-looking area that is a drivable surface. And what's unique about this system, these flexible plastic porous pavers, is that they do mimic the natural water cycle. So the rainwater will, the stormwater will fall on top of these systems and will permeate through the cross-section back into the groundwater supply. This you know, has a great effect on the natural hydrology of an area. The groundwater supply is recharged, whereas impermeable pavements such as concrete and asphalt, they really reduce that groundwater supply, reduce the base flow. But these porous pavers, they have a great system for not only mimicking the storm, the hydrology, but they actually clean pollutants from stormwater. So any hydrocarbon drips, any automobile drips, any animal waste, fertilizers, anything that falls on top of the system is actually cleaned throughout the cross section, and that water is returned clean to the groundwater supply. So.
How does that work?
Well, mostly it's done through what's called bioremediation, which is where a microscopic organisms can actually feed on hydrocarbons and the drips off of a automobile. They actually feed off those small molecules and return that to a water state. The other cleaning that's involved is metals are absorbed in the cross section, so they're not heavy metals are not floating and suspended in the water when they reach our creeks or our reservoirs or our drinking water, such as they would with concrete or asphalt. And when vegetation and other organic material is in a cross-section, you can remove some of the phosphorus, some of the nitrogen, and some of the other fertilizers that readily pollute, you know, creeks and reservoirs.
So how many different types of porous paving solutions does Invisible Structures make, Dustin?
We manufacture grass porous paving called Grass Pave 2, and that is 100% grass coverage. So you get the benefits of a paved surface, a drivable surface. You know, any street legal truck or fire truck or car can traverse over it, but it looks just like a normal lawn. And then our other product is Gravel Pave 2, which is a similar system, but it gets filled with either an aggregate, a gravel material, a decorative gravel, or, as I mentioned before, a recycled glass or a seashells or some other material. Now, both of these systems, the grass pave and the gravel pave, they will remain porous throughout their lifespan. They'll clean the stormwater and any pollutants that go through the cross section, and they are you know, a true paved surface. This is in the industry, this is what's called the wearing course of the pavement. So any pavement system will have a base course which supports the load, just like asphalt or concrete, and then you'll have a wearing course, which is either going to be porous material, like an environmentally friendly porous material like ours, or an impermeable section like asphalt and concrete.
Now, how does your plastic paving solution compare to asphalt and concrete, Dustin?
Well, let me clarify a little bit. Our product line, our flexible plastic porous paving and the whole industry, we're more geared toward low speed areas. It's parking lots, fire lanes, utility drives, residential driveways. We're not really suited for highway traffic, so we would be replacing asphalt or concrete in those.
Right, but let's say somebody has an asphalt driveway. How often do they probably need to replace that?
Well, asphalt will typically have to be treated or resealed every 8 years, and then typically replaced every 15 years to 20 years, and then concrete will need to be replaced every 20 to 25 years due to sinking and cracking and degradation. A gravel plastic porous paver will typically last about 25 years, and a grass porous paver, or permeable grass porous paver, will last up to 60 years.
So a lot of people don't even think about paving as something that is that has a significant carbon footprint, and also it can be detrimental to the water supply. But the other thing that usually goes into their calculus when they decide on repaving or building a driveway would be price. How does the plastic solution, how does that compare to the traditional asphalt paving?
Flexible plastic porous paving is really a better economical solution. Your life cycle cost is reduced. You're not going to be replacing your paved area as you would with concrete and asphalt as many times. The initial installation cost is generally a little bit more expensive than asphalt and a little less expensive than concrete, so it falls right in the middle. But again, we can address the stormwater issue where you don't need to put in storm drains. Many times they don't need curbing. They don't need filtration systems. So if you look at it as a total system cost, a total site cost, it is much less expensive than what you'd need for asphalt or concrete.
So really, it's about awareness and people thinking twice about something that they don't think about. They think about their cars, but they don't think about what they drive on. Dustin, thanks so much for being our guest on Sea Change Radio.
Thank you, Alex. Pleasure to be here.
Look down that lonesome road before you travel on. Look up and greet your maker. For Gabriel blows his horn.
To listen to Sea Change Radio anytime, anyplace, just subscribe to our free podcast. Simply follow the link from seachangeradio.com or search for us in the iTunes podcast directory.
My guest on Sea Change Radio is Martin Chilcott. He is the CEO and founder of 2Degrees, the global community for sustainability. People can find it on 2degreesnetwork.com. Martin, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Thank you very much indeed for having me. It's great to be here.
Martin, in a nutshell, what is 2Degrees?
So 2Degrees is the online community for practitioners involved in sustainable business. So it's a global community of currently 10,000 professionals and practitioners from some 6,000 organizations from around the world, from 100 countries. And they come together on the 2Degrees platform, which is a Web 2.0 platform, to collaborate to solve problems, practically unearth issues, get insights into the challenges that they face, share content, best practice, and knowledge, and develop their capacity to help address the issues that their business faces. And so they're all, in some sense, qualified or pre-qualified, as we think of it. You can only join by invitation or by application. And if you apply, you have to say why it is you want to participate. So we don't have headhunters. We don't have events companies. We don't have undergraduates. Everybody involved is in a mainstream practitioner role, or a consultant or solution provider bringing clean technology solutions to help organizations out.
And how do people participate once they're on the network?
So we have the 10,000 folk organized into what we call working groups. And the working groups address practically a particular issue. So for instance, we have one on smarter cities. We've got one on agriculture, one on water, one on zero waste, one on renewables, one on energy efficiency. And these working groups are managed. So it's not a free-for-all, they're managed. And we have working group managers who then are experts in their area and their subjects, and they work with their members and with a virtual advisory board, which they create, to identify the issues that everybody on there has in common. They take those issues in common and they build out a plan that enables people to engage. And it'll involve things like sharing best practices through webinars or running what we call open innovation challenges, where members put up an issue that they have they need help with, and other members come around with their expertise and try to help solve it. So that's how the body, the community, works collectively to solve problems. And of course, the whole time they're uploading documents and white papers and so forth as well.
So Martin, give us an example of how 2Degrees can make a positive change.
So we had a major international airline came to us and they had a problem. The problem they have is that every 3-4 months, they have to tear out the foam seats in coach because they get heavy with sweat and they get categorized as medical waste. So we won't go into the details of what happens, but you get people lying and sleeping and they're sweating away and coughing and sneezing and all that kind of lovely stuff and perhaps more besides. And so these seats have to come out. And they're made of highly, highly fire retardant foam. So you can't pyrolysize them or burn them or turn them into energy. They just don't burn. And so for 15 odd years, this company's been sticking them in the ground. Now this company has seen the light and wants to become a sustainable travel organization. And so they came to us and said, can you help us? So we've got one working group called Zero Waste, and we packaged up the challenge, as we call it, major international airline, 7.5 tons of fire retardant foam, categorized as medical waste. Can anybody help turn it into something positive? Conversations with about 20 odd people, and then probably something in the region of 400 to 500 people viewing it, took place over 10 days, and they came up with an answer. And the answer was all about building a plant, a factory near their headquarter airport, collaborating with other airlines to take more of this foam in, chopping it up into small pellets, little beads, treating it with UV, which killed the bugs, and then selling it to the building industry as fabulous, already fire-retardant insulation material.
So I know that most listeners are thinking, well, do you think I would qualify? How would I get on? Can you tell who gets on and who doesn't?
So anybody who's working in a business and can legitimately say that their role or part of their role is, about managing waste and resources and carbon and water and about making their business more sustainable, then they are absolutely the kinds of people we want in. So, energy managers, procurement managers, sustainability officers, these kinds of folk absolutely in. And then anybody who is selling a service or a solution or a product that will help businesses become cleaner or greener.
And how would they use it?
One of the things that we're doing is we are, contracting time and space. The globe is a very big place, and this is a global problem. And we have people down in Australia who have solutions and people in Los Angeles who have needs, and we bring them together. And that using traditional means, that would take months, if not years, for the solutions to get together with the people who need them. And so in that sense, we contract time and space and accelerate the ability of organizations, clean tech companies, all those who need those solutions to go to market and actually start implementing practical problems. So we talk about our mission as accelerating the implementation of effective sustainability strategies.
Now what would you do if I sang out of tune? Would you stand up and walk out on me? Lend me your ears and I'll sing you a song. Lord, I'll try not to sing out of key. I'd get by with a little help from my friends. I'm gonna try with the help from my friends. I get high with the help from good friends.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. My guest is the CEO of the new global community for sustainability known as 2Degrees, Martin Chilcott. So you talk about these webinars. What kind of content could professionals find on there that's time shifted, so to speak?
Yeah. So, I mean, so the webinars are all downloadable. So you don't have to attend live. In fact, we get as many people, you know, downloading or seeing them afterwards when it's convenient to them as attend live. The advantage, of course, of attending live is you can ask questions. And the panel's there and they can respond. But you can still very often, many of our webinars then have kind of the panel discussions continuing in the forums. So that asynchronously, you can, you know, not attend live. You can listen to it in your at your own leisure when it's convenient to you. And you can then, at your own leisure when it's convenient to you, you can ask questions through the forums and the panel experts will come back to you. So there are those kinds of things. But it is true that we're developing a whole series of premium content and different types of content at the moment, which are smaller, more easily digestible. So we're beginning to do more podcasts, kind of small insights and digest documents, which will be important to allow people to get what they need when they need it and wherever they are.
So what's in it for your company? It's not a nonprofit, right? How does 2Degrees make their money?
So we're a for-profit company. So membership of 2Degrees and the, you know, the ability, the tools to participate and contribute and collaborate, that's all free for the right people. We want and need, and the world wants and needs the right people to come together to solve these otherwise intractable problems. So there are no barriers there. We make our money by selling some premium content. So some of the content is premium. So for instance, we're at the moment mapping out 150 global 1,000 organizations onto what we call a carbon journey. We're identifying which of the organizations on there are in the stage one of their journey, which is they're really focusing on compliance and risk management, which ones are in the second phase of their journey, and they are really looking about how can they make their current business model more efficient, and those much smaller number, the real pioneers, who actually are going to the far extent of re-engineering and rebuilding and reimagining their business and using it to drive innovation. And so that kind of content, having a really thorough map of where all of these players are, is clearly very valuable, and it costs a lot of money to make, and so we charge to access for that. We also charge access for some of the webinars that we deliver. So some of them, you know, they have global stars, the rock stars of the sustainability world coming in and doing their stuff. It takes a lot of time and effort and work to get that together, and so that kind of webinar is paid for. But we get most of our money from actually solving problems for corporations and for cities. So we deliver a set of what we call corporate services. So Tesco is a good example, so the number two retailer in the world. So we've got a program running in a private working group for them, bringing together their top 500 suppliers, running a program with those suppliers to help them identify common areas and challenges that we can get them to work on together, getting them to identify the things that they've done really well so they can share their best practice, and then bringing in third-party solutions providers to help contribute to the solutions. And that is run as a program in a private working group. It's a supply chain engagement product, if you like, or service. And so, of course, Tesco pay for that.
Do people use Facebook and LinkedIn effectively on this? And if they hadn't, is that why you saw the opportunity for a 2Degrees to blossom?
I'm clearly, social media now has been around for a few years. I mean, not actually that long. It's still a very young medium, and it grew initially out of or grew into consumer markets and was very technology driven. And one of the challenges for using it in a B2B environment, let alone in a business-to-business environment that is around sustainability, is that the kinds of people who you need to use it, who are the decision makers or the implementers of strategy and policy, are not as naturally comfortable with technology, for a start, as a younger consumer audience might be. So that's kind of one barrier that they face. They're also extremely time poor. So the idea of going out into this incredible sea of media and playing around and experimenting as part of their job is just anathema to most of them. And they're probably in their kind of, you know, 40s, pushing up into their 50s, that the people who really make the decisions. And they have certain ways of doing things. And so there's, you can look out onto the internet, and there are lots of businesses who've experimented with, you know, elements of social media, setting up forums, discussion forums, trying to get people to share, and blogging and so forth. And in a pure B2B environment, there are very few cases, very, very few communities that exist that are successful. And the ones that I know of, there's one called doctors.net for physicians, which I know of that is very successful. And the point is about it, and we looked at it and then thought about 2Degrees, is that it does a number of things. It is managed so that it's not a high risk. You don't just sort of turn up and hope there's something of value in there. There are programs being managed and organized around your needs. So you know that it's predictably valuable to you. You can turn up at certain times and there will be things happening and you will get value. So it's not going to be a time waster. It's going to be a time saver. Secondly, the membership is controlled. You know, you have to be a doctor to join doctors.net. You have to be a sustainability professional and practitioner to come into 2Degrees. So you know the likelihood of you being bombarded, hassled, abused, or just frankly, you know, spoken nonsense to by somebody is very low because it's a managed, controlled environment. And those two things I think are terribly important, but they at the same time sit slightly at odds with the traditional trajectory of social media, which is all about, here's a technology, get on and do it, no need for human mediation or intermediation at all, and it's entirely open to anybody to participate.
And that's the thing that really sets apart doctors.net or 2Degrees from what people generally associate social media with, because the business models of a LinkedIn or a Facebook or a MySpace have been just get as many people as possible in there and then we'll figure out how to monetize it later.
Yes, absolutely. So numbers are important. I mean, in this, and numbers are important because we need to aggregate the global expertise into an easy to use platform where they can access each other and they can therefore shorten the distance and the time between people who have needs and those who've got answers. I mean, we need to do that. It's terribly important. So it's not as if numbers aren't important, but it's numbers of the right people.
My guest has been Martin Chilcott. He's the CEO of 2Degrees. It's a global community for sustainability. Martin, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Oh, it's a great pleasure. Thank you very much indeed for inviting me.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise. Additional music by Danny Gatton and Joey DeFrancesco, Madeline Peru, and James Taylor. Sea Change Radio is made possible by support from Sungevity Home Solar Specialists. Go to Sungevity.com to learn more. Check out our website at SeaChangeRadio.com. That's SEAChangeRadio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.